Good morning. Today is a special Sunday. It's Children's Ministry Youth Sunday. We're here to tell a story. A few stories, in fact. During worship, we're going to be telling pieces of the story of God and God's people. We're also going to share with you the story of worship as it unfolds. Worship always begins with a greeting, like I'm doing right now. This is just like when we go to someone's house. We arrive and we are greeted by our host. Today, God is our host. We are all welcome in God's house. And when we say all, we mean all. Everyone here makes worship better and helps us understand God's love.
Each Sunday, after we are greeted, we learn about what is happening in our life as a church family. We hear about ways we can serve one another and our community. Today, during worship, you're going to hear about Smiles for Hope, a plan to support Hope Clinic and Amos Health and Hope. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. Our brief service at 7 o'clock is a time to remember that we are forgiven and loved by God always. Pastors Paul and Stacy will put the sign of the cross on our foreheads. As we begin this season of getting ready to celebrate the mystery of Easter, before the service at 6 o'clock, there will be a simple soup supper for children's ministry families. Zan will help us to know what to expect at the Ash Wednesday service and offer ways we can celebrate Lent together. Now, would you please take a moment and find your connection card in your bulletin? This is a tool for us as a church family. It helps us to be connected to one another and to the mission and the ministry here.
Worship.
This is the time
when we are invited
to get ready
for what we came to do.
Worship.
You are here.
God is here.
We are here together.
Let us worship the author of our story.
Now it's time for some music. Usually Miss Schmidt plays the prelude on the organ. Today, Piper and Asher and Grady will be playing the piano and violin. During this time, the candles are lit by acolytes. The acolytes are children and youth who are in fifth grade and older. The musicians offer their music to help us focus our attention on God. This is true knowledge is for the prelude, and when the children's choir sings out, then you are invited to respond with silence or with an
amen
in the place of applause.
it's time to pray. The invocation is the opening prayer of a worship service. While God is always present, it does not need a special invitation to be present at our church, at our worship service. The invocation asks God's blessing on our worship and helps worshipers recognize the presence of God among us. Each Sunday, the invocation is written and prayed by someone from our church. Every third Sunday, it is written and read by a child or youth. Today's invocation was written by a group of us. You'll notice a little star by some of the pieces of worship. They help us know when to stand. This is the first time we stand together, but definitely not the last. Please stand as you are able and pray with me. Dear God, you are good. Your love is bigger than all other loves. Show us your love today, and with your love, help us to be better friends and neighbors so that we can love others the way that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can stay standing.
During the hymn, We're About to Sing, we'll be collecting prayer concern cards. You'll find them in your pew. Every Sunday, you are invited to write the name of someone you would like us to pray for during worship. When you see someone walk down the aisle, simply pass your card to them. Our first hymn is I Love to Tell the Story. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
hymn of the psalm. Psalms are written as poems. We often read poems of praise. We read the psalm with the leader and the congregation taking turns. Let's praise God together. Our Lord, you are King. You rule from your throne above the winged creatures. Only you are God, you are our mighty King.
A lover of fairness, who sees that justice is done everywhere.
Our Lord and our God, we praise you.
And kneel down to worship you, the God of holiness.
We praise you, Lord God, and we worship you.
At your sacred mountain, only you are God.
This is one of my favorite parts of worship. We sing the Gloria. Now we are saying, God, we think you're great. The kids and teens are going to lead you in a three-part round.
Good morning. When I was 3 years old, I went to the dentist for the first time. My mom told me the story. She said, "You had a great time and announced loudly to the staff when we checked out that you wanted to be a dentist when you grew up." She then told them that earlier that morning, I had said I wanted to be a trash man while watching the garbage truck pick up in front of our house. Our teeth are a part of our stories. My young friend Piper told me she lost one tooth by wiggling it while she was riding her scooter around outside, and she lost another one on New Year's Eve while biting into an Oreo. My friend Lucas told me a dentist came in to talk to the students at his preschool the other day. He informed me that I shouldn't eat goldfish or sugary foods at night before bed because my teeth will get dirty. And my young friend Ivy told me certain words are hard for her to say right now because she's missing her two front teeth. Our teeth can tell the stories of who we are, how old we are, what we eat, what we drink. They can prevent disease, keep us healthy, and increase our confidence. But in Nicaragua, and even here in our own local community, not all people learn about how we should brush our teeth or why we should go to the dentist. And not all people can afford to take care of their teeth. This can be very serious. Bacteria in our mouths can travel through our bloodstream to other parts of our bodies. It can increase the risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, and more. And so that's why our church supports Hope Clinic in Ypsilanti and Amos Health and Hope in Nicaragua. Both Hope and Amos have dental clinics that offer respectful, quality care to people in need, including teeth cleanings, exams, x-rays, fluoride treatments, extractions, fillings, and root canals. Please join us today after the service in the fellowship hall for Smiles for Hope. You'll be able to decorate teeth-shaped cookies, smile in our photo booth, and even meet the Tooth Fairy. You'll be able to support these important ministries, and you'll be able to pick up a calendar with other experiences and opportunities to listen, learn, help our neighbors, and grow spiritually while observing a holy Lent for the common good. The need is great. More than 200 people are on Hope Clinic's waiting list for dental care. But you can help by asking your local dentist to accept patient referrals from Hope Clinic. We'll have information forms that you can give to your dentist available today in the fellowship hall. Dental care matters, especially for vulnerable people in Nicaragua. But you can help. Your donation of just $32 will cover the cost of one dental clinic visit for a patient at Hope Clinic or AMIS. Our church's goal is to share hope with 32 people in need by raising funds for a total of 32 dental clinic patients. You can donate downstairs today in the fellowship hall or for the next two Sundays. And please, if you're writing a check, which I expect many of you will, you can write them out to First Baptist Church with Smiles for Hope in the memo line. Jesus' story is one of hope and healing, and when we put our faith into action to share smiles and share hope, ours can be too.
Our readings from the Bible teach us about that we are a part of God's people who continue to think about, listen, and relate to God as people of faith. Often the reading after the Gloria is from the New Testament stories that happened after Jesus died. Today's reading is a letter that Peter wrote to the early church in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is now Turkey, a country in the Middle East. A reading from 2 Peter, chapter 1. When we told you about the power and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were not telling clever stories that someone had made up, but with our own eyes, we saw his true greatness. God, our great and wonderful God, truly honored him by saying, "This is my own dear son, and I am pleased with him." And we're there with Jesus on the holy mountain and heard his voice speaking from heaven. All this makes us even more certain that the prophets said is true. So you should pay close attention to their message, as you would do to a lamp shining in some dark place. You must keep on paying attention until daylight comes and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
our prayers of the people today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to sing, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying. After we sing it once through, one of us will pray while Mr. Mark plays the piano quietly. We'll sing the song again as a refrain, and we'll continue to do so after each time we pray.
Thank you for the world. Help us treat all people fairly. May people around the world stand up for themselves and others. We ask for help for people in Australia, Puerto Rico, the Rendille tribe, Hong Kong, and in the Congo. God, we know you have the whole world in your hands.
To gain more peace and wisdom. Please help the people of our country to not judge people by their looks and abilities. Make us better people and help others to believe in you and love you. Help us respect each other.
And the sick. Please give them the food they deserve, the food they need, and the water they need, and the hope and joy they deserve. Please help us to help them. We pray for our partners, Amos Health and Hope in Nicaragua, and Hope Clinic in Ipsy. We pray for Ava Kelly, Phil White, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Bruce and Vicky Williams, Marlena Marsh, Juanita Dieterle, Iris Martin, Danny Jones, John Rapson, Obi Obinba, Georgia Chodas, Robert L. and Nikki Danson, and for Rachel and Felix Sharp, Candy Parker, Amy B., Barlan, Brian Burton, Kate, Rush, Joyce, and Phyllis, Jen and Emma, David, Shuyo, Valerie, and the people of Hong Kong, Mark, Andrea, Greg, Samuel, Sarah, Lucas, Adam, Guerrero,
Jones family,
Carrie Cable,
and our pastors.
And in Thanksgiving
for the children
and youth at FBC.
Thank you. Our last reading from the Bible is from the Gospels. Today it is from Matthew's Gospel. We always stand for the reading of the Gospel because it is about Jesus. As you are able, please stand now for the reading of the Gospel. Six days later, Jesus took Peter and the brothers James and John with him. They went up on a very high mountain where they could be alone. There in front of the disciples, Jesus was completely changed. His face was shining like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. All at once, Moses and Elijah were there talking with Jesus. So Peter said to him, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, the shadow of a bright cloud passed over them. From the cloud, a voice said, "This is my own dear son, and I am pleased with him. Listen to what he says." When the disciples heard the voice, they were so afraid that they fell flat on the ground. But Jesus came over and touched them. He said, "Get up and don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes, they saw only Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Now we sing a song together as we, the kids, come up for time as children. This song is often repetitive, uses words kids can understand, and is sung for many weeks in a row. The hope is that this song provides all of us, especially the kids, a hymn that we can learn and know by heart. Now, let's sing. There's a spirit in the air as all kids come forward to join me.
Here to the front. It's a special time for us to
listen,
share,
think,
and pray
together.
Yeah,
good. All right. This is the part where you usually come and then it's time to go, right? But you've made it to this point and you've been leading worship and I'm so proud of you. And we've been talking about the story, the Bible, and all the stories that happen, and how we're a part of the story. And you see here this big calendar. This is a liturgical calendar, and it helps us tell the story, too. It helps us tell the story of Jesus' life. Do you see the snowflake?
Yeah.
Do you see that we're trying to move away from the snowflake?
Yeah.
We're moving from the snowflake over towards the sun, and then, towards the tulip. The tulip's here. The sun goes there. There we go. Moving towards the tulip for springtime, and then the summertime, and then we come back to the fall. And we have lots of different colors here. What color do we see the most of? What color do we see the most of, Ingrid?
Green.
Those are called the ordinary Sundays, or the growing Sundays. There's a lot of them. Let's look at where we are about to be. We're in this green part here, coming up. And today actually is a white Sunday, leading up to this next purple time. Does anybody know what that purple time is called? What's this purple time called, Teresa? Yeah, we have two purple times. You're right, Advent and Lent. Advent is over here. Advent gets ready for
Christmas.
And Lent gets ready for
Easter.
Lent is all about getting ready for that, celebrating the mystery of Easter. And then look how many white Sundays there are. We celebrate Easter for a long time. It's not just one Sunday. Yeah, and then what? We have our lone red Sunday. Who remembers what the red Sunday is, Lucas?
Pentecost.
Yeah, Anna had it too. Pentecost. And what is Pentecost? the church's birthday. So that's when all the followers who were trying to understand what Jesus was all about and trying to share it with other people. So we have this whole big calendar that helps us know. And here at church, we honor those times too of getting ready. And we're about to enter in to the getting ready for Easter, that season of Lent. You heard Miss Marissa talk about a calendar too that grown-ups can take today that helps them get ready for Lent, to be getting ready for the mystery of Easter. And I have some ideas for you too that I'll share with you on Wednesday. So this liturgical year helps us think about the story of Jesus and Jesus' life. You got it. Another story. Okay, let's move to our next thing, shall we? Let's do that. That is Samuel sharing with us. I'm going to sneak that from you. Like a hot dog.
Usually during this time, the children leave for church school. We spend time learning, laughing, and praying together as you do, all do during the remainder of this service. Today, we're going to stay and keep leading worship. While we are planning for the service, we notice that often the hymns have rhyming words. It is fun to notice which words rhyme as we sing songs about who God is, what Jesus' love is like, and how the Bible is a light for our path.
Perfect. Okay. We're going to sing. You guys can go back to your seats now in the front pews. There was a little boy at my church when I was a teenager. His name was Sio, and he was 6 years old, and he always had a lot to say. And he always had a lot to say because he was always thinking. One time when he was in the sanctuary, he asked if he might be able to go up and preach a sermon from the pulpit. Those of us in the room got ready. The pastor in the space was quick to say, "Yes, go ahead, Sio. You can go up to the pulpit." And so Sio did, while everybody else settled in the pews, knowing that it was going to be a while. So Sio got into the pulpit. He stepped on a stool, adjusted the microphone just right, got real tall, looked out, and he said, God loves you. Pay attention. And after a moment of silence, then he came out of the pulpit, and he went and he sat down in the pews. It was a brief sermon. It was short. We were all surprised. But boy, Sio had a lot to say that day. God loves you. Pay attention. It's been a privilege and an honor to work with Colee and Ashley and with the children of our church to get ready for today. They, the children, are just like Sio, theologians. They are people who think deeply about God and the stories of God and God's people. They read the story carefully. They listen to one another's wonderings carefully. You all pay attention to how the story invites you to follow Jesus. You do that carefully. And we will listen to you, kids, and we'll keep listening to you, and we'll do our best to do it carefully. Together, the children explored today's gospel reading, the Transfiguration, using the African Bible study method. It's a method that is rooted in the ancient method of praying the scriptures called Lectio Divina, holy reading. We read the story, and then we wondered a little bit. And then we read the story again, a different version, and we wondered some more. And then we heard the story one more time. And can you guess it? We wondered together. Our final reading of the story was told by another theologian, Barbara Brown Taylor. She's quite a famous preacher and happens to be a good friend of Pastor Paul's. I'd like to share her telling of the Transfiguration story with you now, as the children heard it too in preparation for today. It starts with a long climb up a windy mountain in the fading light of day, hunting for a strong place to pray. No talking for once, no walls of words between you and the others, just breathing for once. Just hearing them breathe. Until you can't tell whether you're breathing or being breathed. You sit down, you are here to pray, so you get on with it. You pray until you are weighed down with sleep. Pray until it is dark enough to see light through your eyelids where light should not be. You don't really want to open your eyes to see where that light is coming from, but you kind of do, but you kind of don't. And then you look, and there he is. Someone you thought you knew really well is standing there, pulsing with light, leaking light everywhere. Face like a flame, clothes dazzling white. Then, as if that wasn't quite enough, there are two other people there with him, all standing in that same bright light. Moses, Elijah, dead men come back to life. God's own glory is lighting up the night, and now they're leaving. And now Peter's saying something. Tense, he's saying. We need tents. He thinks we're on Mount Sinai. Now there's a cloud. It's coming in fast. That, it's way more than weather. A terrifying cloud that is also alive. It's cutting Peter off, covering everything up, smells like lightning strike. Can't see a thing. Then a voice from the cloud lifts the hairs on the back of your neck. What's God saying? Not listen to me, but listen to him, the Son, the Beloved. But listen to what? Jesus isn't saying anything. He's shining. Or at least he was. Now he's not. Now it's over. Now what? As the kids heard that story and then wondered, it sounded a bit like this. Why on a mountain? How did Jesus get his friends to go with him? What did he have to say to them? What would he have to say to us? I need you? I wonder what they were expecting to have happen up there. Sounds like Jesus' face was the sun. That's hard to picture. Tents? Shelters? What's that all about? Is that like how we take selfies now when something important happens? Wait, God is a cloud? What did God's voice sound like? Was it loud? Was it bossy sounding? Was it tender? Invitational? This is confusing. It's really weird, right? The Spirit was present while these questions were being asked, while the wonderings led to a lot of laughter, and while we embraced the confusion. Richard Rohr, another theologian, speaks to the value in reading and struggling with the stories in the Bible. He puts it this way. The Bible and all spiritual books have a primary focus outside of themselves. Sacred texts are not an end in themselves. They must insert you into new and larger realities through a necessary struggle with your present level of consciousness. Religious texts are meant to invite you into a helpful struggle, and in a certain way, they actually create a conflict or a dissonance for you. If you resolve that tension too quickly by glib belief, you actually learn nothing new and go to no new place. Rohr argues that in order for Scripture to have a transformative effect on us, we must wrestle with it, with its often inherent unreasonableness, its contradictions, its dilemmas, and tensions. And as Will Spotts, one of our church school teachers, said, if you're confused, it means you're paying attention. So this is what we did. We created space and time to wrestle with the story of transformation, allowing God to use it to transform us. We wrapped up our exploration with Taylor's retelling of the story, where she left us with that question, now what? And one child said, now what? Well, now we try to do what's good for God, and what's good for others, and what's good for ourselves. And another child chimed in, and we listened to Jesus. God loves you. Pay attention. The children, you all know that you are part of this story. It was evident by the way you responded to that question, now what? You see yourselves as actors in the story. The story that begins with nothing but God and God's creative love. That journeys through slavery into a freedom story with Moses. A story with Elijah of those on the margin who are faithful and their oil never runs out. The story of a child theologian, Jesus, who preaches of a kingdom that is in direct contradiction. It's the opposite of what the people with money and power said mattered. It's the greatest love story of a God who wants to be in relationship with you, with us. This story, God's story, continues to be written as you, the kids, the teenagers, the grown-ups, as we all receive God's love and as we pay attention. listening to Jesus. And when we listen with our ears and when we listen with our hearts, we too will be transformed.
After the sermon, we sit in silence for a bit, like we just did. This is time for us to be in God's presence as our minds and hearts respond to the sermon. Now we take up the offering. When the offering plate comes to you, you are invited to place an offering in the plate. We offer many things to God: our time, our energy, and our money. Connection cards go in the offering plate too. Pastors Paul and Stacy invite us to make an offering to God. Today, I am going to do that. God is the author of the story of love. Jesus helps us know this love, and we are part of the story. May we make offerings of love, time, and connection, and our money. The children's choir will now offer up a song to God as their offering.
We now sing the doxology together. This is a song of praise and gratitude at the end of the offering. As we sing, we are acknowledging that we all have a gift from God. Some of us use the traditional words, and some of us sing the words printed in the bulletins. The words in the bulletin provide an option for us to use that does not give God a gender. While we sing, the offering is brought forward and lifted as a gift to God. Please stand as you are able to sing.
God, we know your story of love is not over. May these gifts we're given today be used as your story transforms our lives and communities. Your story continues to be written. We want your kingdom to come. Amen.
Pass the peace to one another. You can pass the peace by saying the words, "Peace of the Lord be with you," or simply, "Peace be with you." Some choose to also shake hands or give a hug. Please do what is comfortable for you. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
We conclude the service with a benediction and the postlude. The benediction is a blessing and an invitation to be about God's work in the world when you leave this place. Pastors Paul and Stacy walk among us when they give the benediction. We are going to join you in the aisles too. After the benediction, Grady is going to play his violin. Once he's done playing, worship is over. We'll be at both doors to greet you. Please don't forget to join us in the fellowship hall for the Smiles of Hope kickoff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
While the kids are getting in place, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Ashley Mangrum, who has been a partner with me in this service. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're grateful for your time and blessings, and it's fabulous to brainstorm with you, plan worship with you. All right.